This is the time in our service where we get to celebrate the Lord's table. And as we do so, if you have your Bible, please turn to Philippians 2. The men are going to come in just a few minutes and pass out the bread and the cup. But before they do, let us consider our Savior. Jesus himself instructed the disciples to take the bread and to eat in remembrance of his body that was broken for them, and to take the cup and to drink in remembrance of his blood that was shed. And Paul in 1 Corinthians echoes this instruction as he tells the church in Corinth to do the same. And because of what we know to be true about our Savior and because of what we know to be true about our gospel, we know that this time, as we take the Lord's table, is not really about us and what we're doing, but it's rather about God, about Jesus, about what he has done. The cup and the bread, they don't have some sort of special power that makes us right before God or makes us more holy before God. Rather, they direct us back and help us fix our eyes upon the one who satisfied fully the wrath of God that our sin deserves, that we deserve. It helps us fix our eyes upon the one who conquered death. As we remember our Savior, read with me Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul is instructing the Philippians here to have in them the attitude that was in Jesus. And in helping them understand that attitude that was in Christ, Paul really opens a treasure box of wealth into the mind and the heart of our Savior. Paul begins by reminding the Philippians that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He did not exist eternally as a man, but Jesus exists eternally as God. And he emptied himself, taking on the form of a man, taking on the form of a slave. He became a man. God the Creator, fully God, comes to earth and becomes fully man. Jesus doesn't stop there. He fully submits himself to the Father, and he is obedient. He's obedient to the point of death. God was obedient to the point of death as he came down, became a man. And we need to stop right here and let ourselves be shocked by this. Many, many, many men died on crosses. One God died on a cross. Our God. And we get the joy of remembering what our Savior did. He did this not for his own transgression. He was perfect. He died so that he might be the propitiation for all who believe. Another way to say it is that sin requires a penalty, and Jesus paid in full that penalty for all who believe in him. And we know that Jesus' story does not end here. No, he rose from the dead, he ascended, and God has exalted Jesus and given to him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And what a glorious and wonderful truth for all who believe in him. We serve an unparalleled Savior. The humble one becomes the exalted one. See, Paul, in instructing the Philippians to have the attitude in them that was in Christ, he knows that there is only one way that they can have this attitude. And it is if Christ himself is dwelling in them. And believer, if you have repented of your sins and called upon the name of the Lord, Jesus is in you. This is the beauty of the gospel. We get what we in no way deserve. Jesus took your sin and you gained his perfection. Jesus took your condemnation and you received salvation. Jesus took your separation and gave to you reconciliation. And all of this is a result of the wonderful cross which our Savior died on. Christian, take this time to examine yourself. And if there's sin in your life that you're aware of and have not repented, then repent of it now. Remember the work that Christ has done. Remember the work that your Savior has done and rejoice in that work. And take the bread and take the cup and drink. If you do not believe in Jesus, if you have not turned from your sins and turned to Christ, if you have not believed in Jesus as the only hope before God, knowing that without his blood you stand condemned before God, if you have not submitted yourself fully to his loving leadership, then I plead with you, repent and believe in Christ. Turn from your sins and confess Jesus as your Lord. As we just read, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. And the question is not, will you confess Jesus is Lord? The question is, will you do it today for salvation? Or will you do it on the other side of the grave for condemnation? Will you confess now as a friend of Jesus or then as an enemy? Will you do it today as your joy to follow your Savior and to lift his name high, or will you do it then as your shame? I plead with you, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, repent and believe in this wonderful Savior. However, if you refuse to trust in the Lord, then I ask that as God's word instructs, as the bread and the cup pass, just let it go and don't take, as this is a time for believers to remember what our glorious Savior has done. So men, come and pass out the elements. Remember your wonderful, humble, awesome Savior. And when your heart is prepared, take.